we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I still pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, and spend Monday through Friday with you here at this time on the Refresh Radio program, and we're thankful that you have chosen to make the Word part of your day. We want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538, as they take care of air conditioning, heating, and electrical problems here throughout Brevard County. They also like to help get the Word of God to as many people as possible, and so we want to say thank you to them. And I can tell you, if you need help with your electrical or your air conditioning problems, you can call them. They travel anywhere throughout the county. They've been saying that things have been going very, very well, and so I encourage you, like I do with some of the others, if you have a project that you're going to be working on, you want to deal with a reliable contractor, Christians, Dennis and Carla, phenomenal blessings to the body of Christ here in Brevard County and their team there at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. If you want to deal with somebody who's going to treat you fairly and do quality work for you, give them a call, 321-632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we would greatly appreciate that. Well, I've got some disturbing news for all of those students out there who've been enjoying spring break this week, and that is today is the last official day of spring break. You've got your weekend Saturday and Sunday, and then it's back to school on Monday, and so I hate to be the bearer of bad news. On the good news front, to those parents out there, today is the last official day of spring break, and the kids go back to school on Monday, so just a little bit of fun there for those of us who no longer get spring breaks. So today we're going to be in the Word of God. We're going to take you to the book of Judges, chapter 6 today. The book of Judges, chapter 6. I want to prepare you for the weekend. I want to help explain some things to you. The devil's strategies never really change. They're almost always the same. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but that he had come to give us life and life more abundantly, life to the full. So I just want to remind you about that, and I want to equip you today from the book of Judges. We're talking about sowing to the Spirit, and I want to prepare you for the devil's attack against your harvest. A lot of time we talk about the sowing, but that passage in Galatians chapter 6, which launched us into this study, says that we will reap a harvest if we do not faint. And so we don't want to give up. We don't want to throw in the towel, so to speak. So let me take you to Judges chapter 6 and begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read on down through verse number 10. It says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them." I want to read that verse again for you. "So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." So I want to talk to you today about the threat to the harvest. The threat to the harvest. Do you realize that your spiritual harvest, that which you sow to the Spirit, is a threat to the devil? By the way, I'd like to invite you out. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you come and visit with us at Merit Assembly of God. We last week for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as I like to call it, we had a large number of visitors, and it was just a really, really awesome day at Merit Assembly of God. Our children's ministry team worked hard. Our youth ministry had been at it hard, and we're just thankful for what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. And so if you'd like to be a part of what God is doing, we're seeing breakthrough in individuals' lives, and I'm just privileged to be along for the ride and to be a part of what God is doing. If you don't have a church home and you'd like to come and be a part of a family, ours is not a closed family. It's not an us four and no more church. It's a church where we love to see new faces and love to see God at work in people's hearts and lives. So if you'd like to be a part of us, we're going to be back there. Now, this coming Sunday night, because of some things that we've got going on next week, I've got a very full schedule next week for many of the people in the church. And so we're taking Sunday night off so that they can have an opportunity to refresh physically as well as to refresh spiritually. So let's get back into the word here this morning. So it said that the children of Israel, that the reason that they were sold into the hand of Midian, in verse number 10, God says through the prophet, all of this has happened because you have not obeyed my voice. Obedience is a threat to your spiritual harvest. It's a threat to my spiritual harvest. Disobedience is not something to wink at. It is something to take very seriously because it has spiritual consequences. It has, if I can put it this way, it has governmental issues, consequences that come about as a result of that. It has economic issues. It has domestic issues, dwelling issues. There are a whole number of issues that arise out of this situation that every time the children of Israel would sow, it would prompt a response from the enemy. And so I want to encourage you today, don't give up sowing just because the devil attacks every time that you do. I want to encourage you, sow to the Spirit frequently, sow to the Spirit often, and sow to the Spirit your very, very best. You will, God promises, you will reap, we will reap if we do not faint. We will reap in due season. The enemy doesn't like that. The enemy wants to fight against that spiritual harvest. And I want you to know, because of the things that we talked about with the potential that is in the seed to be fruitful into perpetuity, you and I, we can't afford to give up sowing. The enemy doesn't like it when you harvest. Sowing prompts him to action because of the guarantee of the harvest. So the enemy wants you to do the hard work. He wants me to do the hard work. And then he wants to steal and destroy your harvest. That's what we see here in Judges chapter 6. He doesn't mind you doing the hard work. He doesn't mind you sowing. It's just that he wants to make sure that he does his best to circumvent the harvest process. It's not about whether we work hard. It is about whether or not we obey. Now, it says in verse number 1 that the children of Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Too many times we are evaluating our moral condition upon our own perspective instead of what God's perspective is. Too many people are defining their morality by what is culturally acceptable, socially acceptable, or politically expedient for the side that they happen to believe in. There are some people who believe in things. They put their political motivations into mechanisms that clearly are designed to cut off the harvest of the blessing of children. That it causes the wiring in my brain to begin to smoke because it does, you know, does not compute. I want to have a spiritual harvest, and so I want to make sure that I don't do things that have the appearance of evil, but in actually they seem right to a man, but in the end they are the ways of death. I don't want to put my stock in that. I want to make sure that my standards are from God's perspective. If there are some collateral consequences because of that from a cultural standpoint, so be it. I would rather be right in the sight of God for all of eternity than right in the sight of man and then have God have to reprove me or rebuke me. And I don't want that. I don't want that. So if you're sowing, you need to also, as you are preparing to sow, you need to say, God, is there anything that I've disobeyed about? Is there any disobedience in me? Is there anything that would circumvent the harvest that you have promised me? And as I'm telling you this, I'm reminded of a story where I, several years ago, God laid it upon my heart to prayer walk all of the boundaries of Merritt Island, you know, from the Indian River to the Banana River, all the way down to Angel City. I went all the way down to Mather's Bridge, I believe it's called, down at the southern end of the island. I didn't go all the way up to, you know, as far as Merritt Island goes, but I did go as far as the entrance to the Space Center. That was as far as I could get that direction. The first walk that I did, I started down at the southern tip. My wife was on her way to work. She dropped me off one morning. And I started praying and started walking. And along that stretch of road, there is not a single convenience store. There's not a single gas station. There's, as far as I can remember right now, there's not a single commercial establishment during that entire stretch. And I had taken quite a bit of water with me, but after I think it was 12 miles of walking that day, I began to cramp up. I had to call my son and have him come and get me. And at that point in time, that was the first leg. It ended up being many, many more miles than just 12. But that first leg of the journey was so painful that I procrastinated for about 2 years. And one day I was praying and God brought it up and said, did you ever finish that prayer walk that I asked you to go on? And at that, by the way, I will tell you this, whenever God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. And it's like, well, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. My voice is having a little bit of an issue here this morning, but, so he gave me a strategy where I could plot it out in segments and it would be a manageable process rather than trying to do it all in one day. And so when I talk to you about, is there anything you've been disobedient about? I'm not speaking as one who's just talking about it theoretically. I've lived it. Partial obedience is total disobedience. It just doesn't measure up. So make sure that there's nothing disobedient and there's nothing evil going on in your life, because then the enemy takes advantage of that situation and comes in to steal or destroy your harvest. So every time they would sow, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people from the east, they would come up, and they had an objective, and that was to destroy the produce of the earth. There are many places in the world that are experiencing famine, that have experienced famine for a long time, and food shortages. And it was because someone with a political agenda came in there and destroyed the food crop. Food is an absolute essential. For thousands of years, attacking the food supply has been a military strategy. Laying siege to a city has resulted in water shortages and food shortages. You can see that in the history of Israel, where people would be shut up in the city and there was no place to get any food. You know, I asked one of our single moms at church. I said, "Are your children still addicted to eating on a daily basis?" And she got a chuckle. And the reason why I was asking is we had some leftovers and I wanted to get those to somebody who could use them. And so she's got three very healthy boys that require food multiple times a day. And so it was just one of the ways that we could be a blessing to her rather than just letting the food sit there in a freezer and go to waste. So you and I, the enemy comes in, he wants to destroy the harvest. That's quite simply his main objective. It happens that harvest is necessary. It goes on and says, "And leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey." One of them was a food supply and a clothing supply. The other ones were related to the harvest. They not only wanted to destroy the harvest, they wanted to destroy the tools that were necessary to bring the harvest to pass. Don't allow fear to deprive you of stepping out in obedience, for you will see a spiritual harvest. Do not be afraid to sow a seed to the Spirit, because it is without a seed, there is no harvest. Okay? So there was a scheme in place by the enemy. One was to destroy the harvest. The second was to destroy the tools of the harvest so that Israel could not be sustained. That's what the word sustenance means there, that the things that would enable it to survive, to get through the storm. Sometimes you think you're just going to weather the storm. I want you to know that God wants to make you more than a conqueror. And so it says they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. Look at verse number 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So not only was there a response because the Israelites had sown a seed, but there was a purpose, and that was to destroy the harvest, to destroy the tools of the harvest, and to destroy the sustenance so that they would not be able to be sustained, so that they would be easily overpowered and destroyed in a military campaign. And also, it was to uproot them from their homes. You see that in verse number 2, that they started living in dens and the caves and the strongholds in the mountains. And it was to reduce them to poverty. The enemy's strategy is always to impoverish you. And God wants to enrich you. Now, I'm not saying that if you become a believer, your bank account is going to get all nice and fat. But I have known some people who were tremendously enriched spiritually, enriched with healthy relationships. There's a lot of, listen, true wealth is spiritual wealth. It's not just financial wealth. True wealth is having people that you empower, that you have influence with, that you can lead in the paths of godliness, that you can show them the way to go. That is what real spiritual wealth is. And so the enemy comes in. There's not a positive motive in there that would benefit the children of Israel. But what it did was it caused them to start crying out to God. And when they cried out to God, God made them aware in verse number 10. He says, I brought you out from Egypt. I brought you out from the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of those who oppressed you. I drove them all out before you, and I gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Okay, so I brought you out so I could bring you in, and I told you don't be afraid of the gods of this land. The God that you have is more than enough to take care of you. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And he says, but you've not obeyed my voice. And so today I want to ask you to, if you feel like your harvest is under attack, if it's being threatened, whether it's your kids, whether it's your finances, whether it's your sustenance, whether it's your home, no matter what it might be, I want to encourage you to cry out to God and don't just moan and groan and complain, but go with an inquiring heart and say, God, examine my heart. Is there any iniquity in me? Is there any unclean thing? I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 12, I believe it is. Jeremiah chapter 12. Let me turn over there just a second. Jeremiah, we are there for that. And getting close to chapter 12. And let me begin reading at verse number 7. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come, assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate. It mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour. From one end of the land to the other end of the land, no flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. And so here, there was nothing wrong with the seed. What there was a problem with the people who were sowing that seed, and it was rebellion and disobedience. And rebellion and disobedience will bring crop failure to our lives in a spiritual sense. I don't know about you, but I don't want my good seed failing to produce. I don't want that. I don't want to go through all of the hard work. I don't want you to go through all of the hard work and then not reap a harvest. And so let me take you back to Galatians chapter 6 just so that we maintain our perspective here. Verse number 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I don't want to see you go through all of the hard work and then miss out on your harvest. In John chapter 4, Jesus told the disciples who had gone to get him food, he said, do not say that there are 4 months unto harvest. Lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest already. And he said that as the entire town was coming to him. There was getting ready to be a move of God in the Samaritan people, in a Samaritan village, people who were at hostility with Jewish culture as a whole. They were deemed second-class citizens. And Jesus came and said, I'm bringing you the words of eternal life. I'm so thankful that God, that his compassion for humanity reaches beyond cultural ignorance, where some people look at others as if they are second-class citizens. I'm so thankful that that's not the way God looks at us. Jesus died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. That forgiveness is available for every person. And so today, if you've sown a seed, I want you to realize that hell is mobilized to try and destroy that harvest, to destroy the land, to take away the tools of the harvest, to impoverish you, to, to cause you to be dislodged from your home and your comfort place. If you and I will say, God, would you help us? Would you bring us back into alignment with what you would want us to live? Would you forgive us and empower us to live the way that you want us to live? I can promise you that there's a deliverer on your behalf, the same way that there was a deliverer on Israel's behalf. Gideon was empowered. Now, Gideon was operating with the harvest in mind, but he was doing it in fear. He was doing it in the wrong place. And God said, you're a mighty man of valor. And you know, I look at that and say, man, does God have a lot of confidence in humanity as to what he can do with us? Listen, if God could use Gideon, he can use me and he can use you. Our deliverer is much more qualified. He is not motivated by fear. He is motivated by passion. His name is Jesus Christ. Today, you have someone working on your behalf to make sure that your godly seeds do not fail. Do not get frustrated. Do not give up. Do not tolerate disobedience in your own heart and in your own life, but be quick to bring it to the cross and bring it to Jesus Christ. And I have the confidence in the God who instructed Galatians chapter 6 to be written, that your harvest and my harvest will not fail. The Midianites, they ruled and they reigned over Israel, but it only lasted 7 years. Today, if you are under assault, if you feel like your spiritual harvest is being hindered, I want you to know Jesus is bringing the victory. He's bringing the victory for you. He's bringing the victory for us. And God is going to make sure that there is harvest, to make sure that his people are sustained, to make sure that you have the tools that you need, to make sure that you have a place, or that inheritance is kept, and God is going to bless you and enrich you spiritually. You have a great weekend. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.